telling you, it's a God that answers prayers. No matter how long it takes, He will still answer. He will never put us to shame that put our confidence in Him. You trust Him, He will never allow your trust to be in vain. The devil can destroy any aspect of your spiritual life, but don't let him touch your prayer life. That is the only basis. That is the source of our strength. Is prayer. Is prayer. Hallelujah. And the advantage of prayer is so much. Among others, it keeps you connected to God. Let me tell you, the way we relate with our fathers, earthly fathers, is the same way God expects us to relate with Him. Every true father, you have a son, you want to hear from him regularly. Every father wants to see a son that depends on him. Every father wants that fellowship with his son, with his child. So it is with our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And prayer waves away a lot of nyama nyama, because prayer gets into the presence of God. And nobody goes before the presence of God and comes out and remains the same. Moses was in the presence of God. When he came, the glory of God was so much around him, carnal people could not behold him. Prayer gets you to the presence of God, and each time you meet with God, there is a glory that covers you. That is why we remain untouchable. Hallelujah. Anytime the devil, before the devil can get any Christian, the first thing he does is kill your prayer life. Once he's able to affect your prayer life, reduce the way you pray, or make sure, you know, it gets you so busy, it keeps you very busy, until you can't have enough time to pray. If you can achieve that, then he will achieve what he wants to do against you. The wisest thing for you to do, you are born again, is, you know, build your prayer life. One other thing, what prayer does for a Christian, amen, it keeps you always in the spirit. You become more spiritual than carnal. It's true. It keeps you in an estate where you are always battle ready. I mean spiritual battle. It keeps you so much in the spirit. That is why you contact spiritual things easily. When the Spirit of God wants to talk to you, it ministers to you easily. You hear Him clearer and easier than a carnal person. Food always. Once in a week now. Fast at 3 o'clock now. You can't. Any Christian that cannot fast just 12 hours, no food, you are already a dead Christian. You are spiritually dead. I'm telling you, don't justify with anything. Don't justify with anything. Just justify that. Just wake up. Don't pray that you wake up. That's all. Don't pray that. That is why some people are in dead churches and they don't know. They think they are in living churches. Let me tell you what the devil does. Hallelujah. And some blind pastors don't know it. William Branham said something. He said, every Christian, Satan is after you. So he said, if Satan is not after you, say he has gotten you. When you see yourself, you are not able to pray, and yet you are prospering in your business, prospering financially, prospering anywhere, watch it. Satan has decided to keep you busy with business so that you will not have time to pray. He is after something. Once he can kill you spiritually, one of the ways he kills you spiritually is to keep you busy chasing money. Chasing. Oh! And then, you just put her here. 1 million, they come up. Another billion, they come up for here. Another million, they come up for here. Until now. Hallelujah. Your real self, I hope you know your real self is your spirit man. I hope you know the real world is the spiritual world. I hope you know that this one we see with our eyes is just a temporary one. Whatever you see happening physically is determined from the spirit. I hope you know that. That is why God is a spirit and he dwells in a spiritual world. Satan is a spirit and he dwells in a spiritual world. Satan operates spiritually, not physically. Amen. That is why it is when you sleep that you receive all your attack in the spirit world. For everything you see manifesting physically, it happens first spiritually before it manifests physically. Before you die physically, spiritually, you're already dead. Amen. Am I scary? Your eye open, I say. I'm not scary, it's a fact. Whether I say it or not, what I'm saying is a fact. It exists. Hallelujah. And so, some of these churches that preach prosperity. Eh? Satan doesn't touch them. Yes, prosper. Eh? Prosper. And they know nothing concerning salvation. They know nothing concerning the things of the spirit. Other than how to make it. Satan designed such ministries so that the things pertaining to salvation, you will know nothing about it. And since what you are busy doing has no salvation virtue, he doesn't care. He will encourage you because his own is you must not be saved. You must be like him. Destined for hell fire. And he's looking for people that will go with him. And he has gotten them billions. But me, he won't get me. I don't know who else. So. Me, Moses Alu. Satan, you can't get me. Moses Alu, this heaven, I must enter heaven. I don't know how many people can say that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 is where we pick our text from. Hebrews chapter 12. That is where we picked our text. Let me quickly conclude that. And this message is for only Christians. Let the Christians shout hallelujah. Okay. They are the ones that will not sleep now that I want to talk. It is for those who want to better their lives spiritually. It is for those who want to have a good relationship with God. It is for those who want to remain connected to heaven. It is for those who want to progress spiritually. If you don't fall within this category, please use these few moments, relax and sleep. When we finish, the prophet will wake you up. That's the one you want. He will tell you how many containers you will get this year. They will tell you all the witches that are holding you. But one thing they will never tell you in this church is they will not tell you why that witch is able to catch you. But they will tell you the witch has caught you. But I'm here to tell you why the witch, they catch you. Hallelujah. So you prophesy in part. The prophet will prophesy in part, then I will conclude the rest. Hallelujah. The prophet will tell you it's a witch that is causing your problem. But the prophet will never tell you in this church why the witch is able to catch you even though you are a Christian. The Bible says, if a man's word please the Lord, he maketh him to be at peace, even with his enemies. So, if you are not at peace with your enemies, which hold you, occultic neighbor hold you, landlord hold you, I'm here to tell you tonight, according to the word, Paul said the Lord, I'm prophesying, it is because your ways are not pleasing before God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you also. Hallelujah. For the Christian that is busy chasing money, chasing promotion, chasing work, chasing this, to the detriment of your spiritual life, it is written. The reason why you have not been able to get what you are looking for is because you said, seek him first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and other things shall, you see, shall be added. So you are doing it upside down. The things that should be added is the one you are seeking first. You will never get it. You will never get it. You see, people don't like my kind of prophecy. But I will prophesy. Amen. Prophesy. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. He said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Just this one verse is enough. That is our text. That we should lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Two things beset a believer. A weight and a sin. Which weight? Weight of the bodies of care. Frustrations of life. A besetting sin is a sin that when you want to go forward, it draws you back. That is it. It besets you. I'm talking to believers. When you want to move forward in the things of the Spirit, your Christian life, generally, you see yourself fall yakata. You draw back. It draws you back. Two things draw us back. One is sin. The other one is the weight. Weight. The cares of this world. Frustrations. One burden or the other. Problem with the family. Problem with your children. Family issues generally. Joblessness. Hunger. Oh man, now problems that draw us back. Like I was talking to my brother today, he's here listening to me. He's a minister of God. How that out of frustration, a very senior minister in his church, out of frustration, when things were not going, everything stagnated around him, he decided to go to one Babalawo. It's frustration. Yes. Hallelujah. Okay? Because that is the meaning of the besetting sin is the sin that gets you backslidden. it draws you back. And every Christian has this tendency if you don't watch out. Satan has decided you will not move forward in your Christian life. And he does everything using these two things. The weight of problem. Hallelujah. And sin. Sin that doth easily beset you. Hallelujah. Try to let you know that once you are blessed, it is written, whom God has blessed, you can't curse. Am I correct? I'm talking to believers. Whom God has blessed, no one can curse. If you catch that, your Christian life will be better. And every one of us, according to the Bible, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. No witch, no wizard can curse us and it will work. None. If anybody curses you and it works, there is a problem with you, not the person that curses you. And because, like we saw in the example of Balaam and Balak, that's why the Bible till today, to the last book of the book of Revelation, the Spirit of God refused to forgive Balaam. Still mention Balaam. He called it the doctrine of Balaam, which he, God, hates. What is the doctrine of Balaam? And the doctrine of Balaam is still on today in the church of Jesus Christ. And people are flowing under that doctrine and they don't even know it. When Balaam could not curse the children of Israel because God told him they are blessed. God told him, hallelujah. He said, I do not behold iniquity in Israel. He looked at his people. He didn't see iniquity. Why? He was looking at them through the covenant he had with their forefather Abraham. Hallelujah. The same thing also. God looks at every one of us and does not see iniquity because we are under the blood. Hallelujah. You ask me, where are my sins? They are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary and far removed as darkness is from your. If the sin of God forgetfulness, the good and all for me, praise God, my sins are gone. It's good to be a Christian. It's good to come under grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think I mentioned during the week that I was conducting a deliverance for a young girl. And the Spirit was talking to me through her voice. I will not leave her. She has been covenanted to me from the womb. Or something. Say from birth. Say from birth. She has been covenanted to me. And I shouted, Satan, you're a liar! You're a liar! Hallelujah! And this was her deliverance. I spoke to the Spirit. I said, from birth, she was covenanted to you. But now, there is another covenant that she has been covenanted with. That covenant is the covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I told the demon, if you know your word, deliverance is very easy. If you know the word of God, praise the Lord. If you know your word, when you see ministers that sweat, I bind you. I has Pentecostal hangover. He sweat. I have seen where they remove suit. You must go. Then the demon said, I will not go. Then the minister will carry hand, twist the person's neck, twist her. I say, go. Buffer with oil. Buffer with this one. You must go. I will show you I'm a servant of God. The demon will look, I don't go. It's good to know the Bible, though. Because I turn and look at all the deliverance in the Bible, in the New Testament. I don't hear where they shout. I don't hear any shout. Jesus corrected us. His disciples pray all day for one demon to go. They didn't go. And they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus just rebuked that spirit. And it left. The disciples came to ask, come, how come we shouted Monday to night? This demon no go. And he told them, amen. This kind cannot go except by fasting and prayer. Amen. So you know the fast. Jesus was always fasting. You know the fast, then you want to cast out some spirit. The spirit, no. Anytime deliverance minister, you cast out any spirit, and the spirit will not go. Hold on, check. When did I fast last? You go and do your own fasting first and come. When you come again, the thing say you no go. Then stop. Sit down the person. Have you been baptized? Are you under the blood? If you are not under the blood, that spirit will never go. Hear what I'm telling you loud and clear. That thing happened at the Kotu. It's not deliverance. But that's not where I am going. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you know the word. See. Listen. I told you this. Psalm 103. Let's read verse 20. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Listen. Before Psalm 103. Read Hebrew chapter 1. Open Hebrew chapter 1 verse 14. Hebrew chapter 1 verse 14. He says, Are they not all ministering spirits, talking of angels, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Who are those who are heirs of salvation? We are the ones. We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. So he's saying that the angels of God, see, know these things so that it will help you in your prayer life. See, I do deliverance, but some people think that I have one serious anointing. Now those demons, they go. Not anointing anything. This is the secret. Know the word. And that's what I want to prove to you now. He said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them that shall be heirs of salvation? Confirming another scripture that said, the angel of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him. There are angels all around us. Every believer, you have an angel of God assigned for you. Now, what are they there for? Psalm 103, verse 20. See what they are there around you to do. Of course, the psalmist says that he will not allow you to dash your foot. Okay? Now, he said, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments. They do God's commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. This is his word. Okay? Now, the voice of his word is you quoting it. When you quote the word of God concerning any situation, the angels will go and enforce it. That's why it's good to know the Bible. Anytime you say, that is why when Satan met with Jesus Christ and tempted him, what did he resist him with? I bind you, I lose you. He said, it is written. It is written. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I quoted that to that demon. When I counted and then I said, now, if your covenant from her birth is higher than the covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ, now you stay at the count of 7. What? The angels are there to enforce it. Do you understand? It's not me now. The Bible says he, God, watches over his word to perform it. The word that proceeded from the mouth of God shall not return to him void. Hallelujah. And his word is quick and powerful. Hebrews chapter 4. Open it. Verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. What does it do? Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the word of God for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So if you quote the word of God concerning any situation, I want you to know that is what happens in the spirit. And no demon is stronger. The strongest demon. Hallelujah. That is the smallest angel in hierarchy is stronger than the strongest demon in the demonic kingdom. That's what you must know. Praise the Lord. Angels of God encamp round about us. But I want you to also note something. Some of us that say we are believers, our angels have left. Because the angels of God cannot behold uncleanness, cannot behold sin. Anytime you find yourself messing up like that, as I'm talking to genuine children of God, I hope we are revelated enough to know what I'm talking about. Because there are some people that are anointed. No matter what they do, the anointing still remains with them. Even if they just leave a prostitute now, come to church, they handle microphone, anointing will flow. Now, the mystery about that, I have explained it. This is how you know the difference between a child of God and just, you know, an animal that God decided to use for a purpose. Do you understand? Serpent seeds, tares, goats. That's what the Bible called them. For the rain fall on the just and the unjust. But by their fruits, you will know them. One thing is this, the way God deals with those people is different from the way God deals with his real children. A real child of God, if you commit any offense, God will deal with you. Why? He loves you. Whom he loves, he chastens. But the one where, he don't know. But where rain they fall, rain fall on top and two. Because God is a very merciful God. They can use the anointing, but there is no connection. He has not adopted him yet as his child. He can do anything. He doesn't care because his end has been concluded. Hellfire. But you that are a true child, you can't do that and escape. Lie. You forget God because you are chasing business. He knows how to return you to him. We close that business. So that you will come back and be joining us on the gym. It's evidence you are a true child of God. He will release a devourer on you. Finish you like this when you come back. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Father, open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wandered far away from God. Lord, I'm coming home. How many people have sang that type of prayer before? Oh, there are many. We are many. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, the doctrine of Balaam. Balaam, when he noticed that he cannot curse these children of Israel, what did he do? He decided, look, the only way you can deal with a true child of God is make him do something that will make God to be angry with him. So that God will descend on him. But to say from outside, I should curse them. Hey, Lilai, you're wasting your time. These people are under a covenant. So, he decided to organize that feast of Baal Peor. We know this story. And then Balak, who could not achieve what he could not achieve by cursing them, made them to come, and they joined themselves with those Moabitish women. Joined themselves, committed fornication that day. And one day the wrath of God came in the camp of Israel. For doing that, 24,000 of them died. That is the doctrine of Balaam that God says he hates. And there are many people today that under that same doctrine. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Watch the story in the journey of the wilderness, that it is not the enemies, the Philistines, the Moabites, all of them, all those enemies, those are the Canaanites. It was not them that prevented that generation that left Egypt from entering the promised land. It was sin within them. It was murmury. It was fornication. It was lust that caused them. Idol worshiping that made them not to enter the promised land. And it's the same thing among us today. And I told you the kingdom of God, what the definition of the kingdom of God is. And that many of us are unable to enter the kingdom of God. It is because of the lifestyle we live. Our attitude. It is no witches. No witch can stop you from going to heaven. No wizard can stop you. Only on yourself. Blessed be the name of the Lord.